The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we have a special guest to talk about an important subject. He's an expert on probiotics. He is one of my good friends and colleagues here in New York City. He practices out of his own center here in Manhattan. He's Dr. Fred Pescatore, known to his patients affectionately as Dr. Fred, and he has appeared all over the media. He's author of the New York Times best-selling book, The Hamptons Diet. And among the books he's written, and this is one we're particularly going to focus in on today because the subject is probiotics, is Boost Your Health with Bacteria. So without further ado, here's Dr. Fred Pescatore. Fred, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Oh, thanks for having me, Ron. It's always fun to chat with you.
Indeed. And so you developed an interest way back when in the subject of probiotics. I dare say you were ahead of your time because you recognized their potential when you wrote that book of yours.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, when you think about it, when you look back at both of our careers, actually, you know, we were doing so much of this stuff that is considered mainstream now. Way back when people looked at us with three heads, thinking, what are they talking about? And it's really quite fascinating. And one day somebody's going to write a book about the history of this. But it's really quite interesting that now even I was just reading, what was I reading today? I think it was Men's Health. Or no, it was actually GQ Magazine I was reading today.
Yep.
And they were talking about the benefits of probiotics and how mm-hmm. they make you skinny. And
How mainstream is that? Yeah.
And that's amazingly mainstream that people yep. are... Probiotics are now in the zeitgeist, and it's really kind of interesting when you imagine what it was like when we both started doing this and asking people to take probiotics because it's good for them and that sort of thing. And it's really, I don't know, I think it's quite fascinating, the whole journey. But probiotics are just what that sounds like. For people who don't know, they're good bugs, good healthy bacteria that need to be in our body and do a lot of different things.
Right, and you know, so there's so much utility to this, and you know, even going back, I mean, we can claim to be pioneers, but the true pioneer was a guy named Eli Metchnikoff, who you certainly mentioned in your book, who actually won a Nobel Prize. I think it was in the early 1900s for developing the notion of intestinal toxicity, that toxins in the intestine could affect the body. And of course, that's, you know, when we started medicine, people said, oh yeah, that guy, you know, he was all washed up because toxins, we don't believe in toxins anymore. But now toxins are coming back into vogue, right?
Yeah, no, they really are. And it's really, it's yeah, and well, you know, the old saying, everything old is new again. I mean, it's true. And it's certainly true in this case. But even just, it was a study, GQ was talking about a study that I think was done at Yale, and it talked about people who had healthier bacteria in their guts had more energy, they thought better, they had clearer thought processes. Well, shockingly enough, I mean, our gut is our second brain, as we know. So the gut being the second brain, it produces a lot of the neurotransmitters and a lot of just the healthy brain chemicals that our brain needs to function. And if that's not available to us, then naturally we're going to be sluggish and we're going to be fatigued and we're not going to be clear-headed and that sort of thing. And I think so having a healthy gut with good bacteria is important considering there's so many bad bacteria out there. I read a statistic, I don't know if you heard this Ron, or not, just the other
yep.
day. 70% of all people, all hospital employees are co-infected with MRSA.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, great.
70%.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot. I was
and,
shocked.
And just for our listening audience, those of you who don't know, MRSA, you know, is methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, which actually I think they had, I think they took a couple of, was a couple of NFL players or was it baseball players that they took out of contention because they didn't want them to have contact with anybody. They thought it was so dangerous that they spread their bacteria around.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, and that we have, and that's a bug that is resistant to all antibiotics. Just so people understand that, that's why it's so important that we pay attention to things like that. And I'm not saying being in a bubble and you should. I'm not even a big fan of antibacterial hand washes.
No, it turns out they're not good for you. There's that whole notion.
No, I think they're terrible for you.
We need healthy bugs.
Good bacteria on your skin. So there's so many bugs on us, and the Human Microbiome Genome Project did a wonderful study, funded by the National Institute of Health. So we're coming, it's just now that we're starting to sort of see all of the studies that are coming out of all of that funding that they're learning about. You know, unfortunately, a lot of them are doing single strain studies, and our body is not a single strain organism. We have trillions of bacteria in our bodies. So to isolate one, which is the typical medical model, is definitely not going to work in this situation as well. That's why I think you and I both agree that it's important to recommend a nutritional supplement that has multiple strains in it.
Well, you're sort of saying we need to diversify our bacteria portfolio, which it's like not just one thing, right? You know, it's got a little bit of some stocks, some bonds, you know, some right, some real estate, you know, and so on. But it's true. The gut is complex, and you know there are these targeted studies, but I think that a lot of these targeted studies where they're trying to develop one organism that's like the bomb for ulcerative colitis, or that is the terrific immune enhancer, or that's terrific for diarrhea. You know, when they look in that narrow way, you may get something you can patent and make a lot of money off of, but you don't get the diversity that is necessary for our intestinal tract.
Right, and that's what's critical here is the diversity. I mean, we have to make sure that all of the good bugs, and the interesting part is that my gut flora is a little different than yours. It's a little different than the engineers. It's a little different. Everybody's a little different, and so in order to recolonize ourselves in a healthy manner, we're going to need to take a diverse bunch of bugs. And you get this, you know, there a lot of people get it in the true fermenting way. Fermenting is coming back mm-hmm. big. You know, there's all these fermenting clubs around now, and you can
you know, natural sauerkraut and things like that. You know, you can buy it if it's expensive, because the cheaper versions are pasteurized, where they kill all the bugs.
Right, and this one saves all of the good bugs. So there's a lot of good. There's a lot of interest in this field, and I think that also keeps a diversity of bugs. But when you're taking a product, and a lot of people, and this is typically American, where if 1 million units are good, then 50 billion units are better. And that's really, I think, a disservice for people, because more is not better in this case. More can actually make things worse. So if you're taking a product that has 50 billion, 60 billion, 100 billion units in it, that can actually cause your body to develop almost an autoimmune response.
Yeah.
And say, what is this stuff in here? This isn't supposed to be here.
I've seen that. I've seen people who take probiotics, and they're supposed to be good for them, but they react badly to them. And it's hard to predict, but sometimes they, and it's different strokes for different folks. Some people get, great response. Other people, it can be hit or miss.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you there, but I think it's so important that we learn to eat in a certain way and live our lives in a certain way, because we live in a toxic environment, and it's really super hard not to. And our gut is so important for us. It's not just about irritable bowel or Crohn's disease or things like that. It's about our immune system GALT, gut-associated lymphatic tissue, where a lot of our immune system cells come from. And I think it's important that we recognize that our stomach is not just about stomach health. It's not just about reflux. It's not just about a tummy ache. But if our gut, and what we're talking about is sort of the intestines, is really taken care of, then a lot of the inflammatory diseases that we suffer from, diabetes and obesity and arthritis, and we can go on and on and on with these diseases. Even heart disease is considered an inflammatory disease. Cancer can be considered an inflammatory disease. I mean, we don't want to have these things, and on the healing, I always think healing starts in the gut. And if your gut isn't right and healthy, then you're never going to be healthy.
Well, you know, I actually, one of my guests recently summarized it very nicely with a pithy little aphorism. It was Dr. Fasano, who's like one of the world's experts on gluten and celiac disease. And he wrote in his book, what happens in the gut doesn't necessarily stay in the gut. You know, like paraphrasing, what happens in Las Vegas, you know, that. But I think that's what you're saying, is that the effects of disordered gastrointestinal flora or an altered microbiome, it's not just a case of indigestion, diarrhea, constipation, belching, you know, some distress. It could be a pervasive effect. And I think that's what we're beginning to realize. It's not just like, you know, it used to be you'd take Dan and yogurt so you'd go to the bathroom. That's not, it goes way beyond that.
It really does. It really goes, and it's interesting to me that people, I mean, they are starting to get it, but I'm sure you see this as well as I do. A lot of patients come to us as sort of doctors of last resort. They've been to everybody else. No one can help them. Please help me. And it's so simple. So, I mean, you just listening to their histories, you know what's wrong with them. And you know that it's all got to do with what they're eating, how they're eating it, and how you can fix that, not only with a good probiotic, but you could fix that also just with eliminating a lot of the main food sensitivities that people have, or even doing a test that can help you look at food sensitivities. But getting back to the bacteria in our gut, I mean, the bacteria in our gut help to create vitamins. I mean, they help to create vitamins in our mm-hmm. body. So these are our gut bacteria does so many things for us, not just, you know, they're not just there for nothing. I mean, they're there for a very, very big reason. And when they're in balance, which they are in so many of us, that's when it leads to illness. And that's, I think it's got a big thing to do with the obesity epidemic as well. I mean, yes, people eat poorly, but there's something that is not, it's almost as if the food is not being digested, and maybe mm-hmm. that's what makes people hungrier.
Right.
I don't know. I think about that a lot, as in how that plays a role. But
well, you know, what's interesting to me is that they're doing a lot of research on the relationship between the microbiome and metabolism and weight. And you know about this fecal transfer thing, you know, where they take stool literally from a donor. Which, by the way, don't try this at home, you know, because this can, I mean, I just read an account in the New England Journal of Medicine about somebody who tried this at home, and he developed a very serious cytomegalovirus infection. And his donors were his wife and his kid, and they suspected his kid might have had a cytomegalovirus infection, and he gave himself a cytomegalovirus infection, and he ended up in the hospital. But, you know, this is besides the point. The point I was trying to make is, when you are looking for a donor, under these very rigorous it's, you know, FDA supervised research protocols, so they use it to treat that very severe diarrhea that occurs with Clostridium difficile, and very narrow. You can't just get this for any other gastrointestinal malady. They specify that the donor be not have any infectious diseases, be in good health, and also be of normal weight, because they're afraid that if they put the bacteria from an obese person into a sick person, they might recover, their gastrointestinal ailment might reverse, but they might become obese, they might catch obesity. So, boy, that's just astounding implications of that, is that if you have the right flora, you can, you have better metabolism.
Well, and also, I mean, they're learning so much, and I find it all very fascinating, because when I wrote this book, Booster Health with Bacteria, this wasn't even the study hadn't even been finished. But I mean, they're also learning that people in different climates have different intestinal
yep.
flora,
mm-hmm.
and those who are skinny in warmer climates have different intestinal flora than those who are thin in northern climates. So it's really
is that why you travel so much, Fred? You're a real world voyager. So what are you in trying to acquire better skinnier intestinal flora by going to all these wonderful exotic places you go to?
All the thin bugs. That's what I look for.
Okay, good. None of the just the good ones. Okay. So clearly there's something, and people's flora, they shift in relationship to who they're with. Like you say, hospital personnel assimilate the bad bugs in the hospital. That's one of the reasons I'm so glad I'm no longer working in the hospital. I hope that over, you know, 30 years hence, I've reversed some of the damage that occurred when I did my hospital training. by taking probiotics and a good diet. Okay, so when it comes to, you do a lot of media, and you're probably asked a lot of times, what are the five top supplements that people should take? I'm sure probiotics are among them, right? So what would you say? I mean, for everyone, regardless of the condition, that's pretty a given.
Oh yeah, regardless of the condition. I mean, as I think we've tried to stress, is that probiotics is the key to really is good health. So I think a good probiotics, and I like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics the best. So that would be number one. I think a fish oil needs to be taken, pycnogenol, a multivitamin, and a fish oil.
I think you said fish oil.
Q10. Can I put six in?
Sure. You know what's going to happen is you're going to say, and wait a minute, I need.
Oh, and vitamin D.
There you go, because that's very key. Clearly, I think I'm asking that question by way of emphasizing that probiotics aren't just for occasional use when you have gastrointestinal upset or if you have a condition, but they're good for maintenance. I mean, studies show that people lose the diversity of their bacteria as they age. It's a little bit like what's happening to our forests and our ecosystems in America as species become extinct and die off and get crowded out. Lack of diversity means that the weeds start to predominate and, the natural wild flora die off.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to avoid in taking a probiotic on a daily basis. And even if it's one a day, and especially if it's Dr. O'Hara's, we could talk a little bit about, if you want, what
sure.
makes that different. It's just that will keep your personal biota as intact as possible. So that it's not so affected by the water that you drink and the food that you eat. And I mean, and it would be different if we were all farming our own food and we were all able to get, our good bugs from our farm and the soil that we all lived in and all of that stuff. But now people eat food that's from thousands of miles away, hundreds of miles away. I mean, it's just, and it's wrong. I think the whole basis of what we do, and I love the science of nutritional supplements, don't get me wrong, but I think food science is really where we have to stay, where we have to go back to, and really figure out how we can support a population on food that is produced somewhat locally.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. So coming back to Dr. O'Hara. So you and I have known each other a long time, but I think independently, when Dr. O'Hara came out many years ago, we formed the judgment that this was something different, a superior form of probiotic, and we've both independently adopted it as our mainstay in just overall supplementation, but also therapeutically to treat certain conditions. So what is it? Why is it different? I mean, what's distinct?
Well, why I love Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is because it is a live system. So when you're taking that pill, those bugs are alive. A lot of the ones you see and on the store shelves are freeze dried. So when they're freeze dried, they've got to wake up when they get into your intestine. This one, Dr. O'Hara's, has a specially coated tablet, so it goes through the stomach, it goes right into the intestine, where those bugs start to wake. I mean, they don't even have to wake up; they're alive. And in that little tiny capsule, those bugs have food. They've got their own food supply. They've got bacteriocins, which are there to kill the bad bacteria. And they've got prebiotics. So they've got everything they need to sort of get to work and do their job. And the other thing is there's certain studies that Dr. O'Hara has done that looks at the fact that Dr. O'Hara's probiotics can actually make your gut look like your gut and everybody's gut to look like their own and not to be... So they actually help propagate your species of bugs that live within you, and they don't overtake, but they just help you to recolonize, which is, I think, pretty significant.
Yeah, that's an interesting notion. And so they used to refer to it as 12-plus. Does that
right.
mean there's like 12 different species in the probiotic as
Correct.
Opposed to like a single one or two?
Yeah, there's 12, I can speak. 12 different species.
Yes, indeed.
Right. And that's what it is. And they have one that's nowhere else called TH10, which is a very specific strain of mycobacteria. And it's really not found anywhere else. And that's why it's that's those are the main components why I like it.
Okay.
You may have another reason that I've forgotten that you think is...
It's well-tolerated. You know, I will mention it's well-tolerated. That's number one. It's easy to take. And here's another... I mean, as you know, one of the problems with these probiotics is that they are... they're not really portable. People have to store them in a refrigerator. And a lot of people, they're busy, they travel, they want to keep some in the office, they don't have a refrigerator, or they travel. You know, it's important to take a probiotic when you travel because that's one of the ways you can ward off Montezuma's revenge. And these little suckers just are very viable at a wide range of temperatures. They don't generally go bad. So this portability, I think, is a factor. They come in a blister pack, which is not going to melt in your pocket. And, you know, I think that that's a good feature of the Dr. Heroes.
Yeah, and I've actually even seen it work for reflux.
Absolutely, yes, yes.
Capsule, mm-hmm. Instead of swallowing the capsule.
Chewing it.
Chew it and take the insides, and within 10 or 15 minutes, the reflux goes away.
Right.
So I use that a lot for patients who have reflux instead of that purple pill.
Have you noticed this? Some patients, they say, well, I took it, I didn't get any benefit. You know, I said, well, what'd you take? I said, well, I took one. Okay, or patient will say, well, I took one twice daily. And I think that's commonly what people do is they take, you know, like they might take a medication. You're going to be asked to take one a day or maybe one twice a day, at worst, one three times a day, although that's kind of inconvenient. And what I suggest for some people with bad gastrointestinal problems is ramp up, you know, just for a while, take as many as eight a day. And indeed, I spoke to one of the developers of the product, and he said that really makes a lot of sense because you may need a higher dose to establish the good bacteria. Then for maintenance, you can go back down. Have you found that to be the case?
Absolutely. Yes, I do. I do the same thing. If they're coming in with severe gastrointestinal type of stuff and they just can't keep anything down and they've got, or they have a ton of allergies, because I use a lot for allergy season.
Allergies, okay.
That sort of thing.
Studies show that probiotics, beneficial bacteria, do reduce the dysregulation of your immune system that causes allergies.
Correct. And that's why I think it's so important when people talk about asthma, allergies, eczema, psoriasis, all of these things that are really sort of autoimmune. I mean, psoriasis is the number one autoimmune disease in the United States. And August is National Psoriasis Month.
Oh, wow. That's a little factoid that I didn't know.
I have to keep you on your toes, Ron.
Oh, there you go.
But you've got to keep your immune system healthy, and probiotics are really, I think, the best way to go. So if you want to stay healthy, folks, I mean, you've got to get on a good probiotic, and the best probiotic, in my mind, is Dr. O'Hara's.
Okay, this is a good inflection point for our podcast. Part one usually lasts around this duration. So what we're going to do is we'll pause briefly, and for those of you who want to hear more, part two is coming up. And in part two, I'm going to pose some questions to you. We'll talk a little bit more about your experience with Dr. O'Hara's, and you can actually tell us firsthand about the manufacturing process, because you, unlike me, you are privileged enough to have visited their manufacturing facility in Japan. I think you could tell us a little bit about how that product is made and the exacting standards to which it's subject. And also talk a little bit about your own personal diet, the Hamptons diet, and tell us about your feelings about the low-fat versus high-protein diet controversy. Our guest, which is one of your favorite topics, our guest, Dr. Fred Pescatore, who has a website, by the way. It's drpescatore.com, and I'll spell it for you, P-E-S-C-A-T-O-R-E. And if you're Italian, it's easy, because that means a fisherman, right?
Right.
Okay. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.